Good evening, church. Morning. All right, let us pray. Father, as we consider this subject of thinking spiritually, we pray, Father, you'd help us to think. We ask, oh God, you would quiet down our minds and our hearts, that truly, Father, we would have pure thoughts, oh God, as we think about you and as we think about your word. So, Father, we pray that your spirit would work in us, O Lord, and that, oh God, our thoughts would be pure toward you. I pray you'd open your word to us and you would teach us. And you would use it, even as my brother has prayed, to renew our minds, O God. Take away our anxieties, O Lord. Take away our fears. Lord, I pray that you'd even use this time to take away our worldliness. Point us to yourself, point us to your Son, Jesus Christ. Portray him to us as crucified. Lord, we pray that you'd be gracious as we look into your word this evening. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My brother said that he would want me to just share with you a little bit of what is happening in Malawi. We started Antioch, I think, 4 or 5 years ago, and the Lord has been blessing us. Right now, he's blessed us in a way that the church has been growing, and we're meeting in a room. It's a government building, so we're meeting there. We've filled it up. Probably every Sunday, we are only at the mercy that probably someone is sick, so there is a spare seat. But otherwise, we have filled up the place, and we're trying to hunt for a new building, but that's not easy. Because in Blantyre, most buildings would be owned by Indians who happen to be Muslims, and so they wouldn't accommodate alcohol, they wouldn't accommodate pork, they wouldn't accommodate Christianity. In that order. So just pray for us that we would be able to find something. We don't want the situation to discourage our people and discourage our members. So keep us in your prayers. This evening, I wanted us to consider the subject of thinking spiritually. We'll be looking at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Someone is thinking all of it. No, just verse 1 to 8. Psalm 119. And I believe one of the reasons why we are here today is because we desire to know God's will. I think most of you would agree to me that we have struggled to know God's will. And we struggle most of the times to know God's will for our lives. It is the desire and the goal of every Christian that as we live, as we walk, as we serve in the ministry, we want to do it the way God wants us to do it. But there's something quite interesting that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and I'll just read it to you. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2, he says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul connects thinking spiritually. He connects knowing the will of God with thinking spiritually. And I wanted us to just take some time to consider the subject of thinking spiritually. Because there is no knowing God's will for our lives if we are not thinking spiritually. Amen to that. We won't be able to know God's will for our lives if we are not thinking spiritually. So it's important for us to consider this subject. The reason why today there is such a confusion in the church when it comes to knowing God's will is because the church today has not spent time to consider this subject of thinking spiritually. Many of you would agree to me, you've read books that suggest 10 ways to knowing God's will. You've memorized them, but they haven't helped. The how-tos, know God's will. The modern church has the idea that God zaps people within seconds and bam, they know God's will. Contrary to what the church, what the Bible teaches and what the church has always believed for the past 2,000 years. The hard work of searching God's word, the hard work of staying in the word and thinking about what God is saying. It's a foreign idea to the modern church today. And Paul says, it starts with thinking spiritually. And we need to think as Christians. We need to think biblically. As you read the epistles, you find that it's Paul's prayer for the churches that they would think spiritually. They would grow in their understanding of God. That's Paul's passion and desire. Solomon, following in the footsteps of his father David, puts it powerfully. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. My commentary on this verse has always been, you're a product of your thoughts. You are a product of your thoughts. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You see, we have quite, the modern church today is weak and frail and not impacting the world as it should because it's not thinking biblically. And so I think it's important for us to just sit and consider and think how we must think when it comes to God, to think spiritually. Let us consider a few things, what thinking spiritually is not. And so we have, and I'm one of them, I love listening to good preaching. I love good preaching. I love listening to Piper and all these guys. I love it. Is that thinking spiritually, just because you love good preaching? There were people who loved to listen to Christ. They loved listening to Paul. But these are people that crucified him. But also we should admit that thinking spiritually also comes with good preaching. And so we should love good preaching. It's important. Sometimes I just love to sit down with my brothers and sisters and just discuss theology, discuss the big things and talk about the great doctrines of our faith. I love to do that. And some of you love to do that also. Is that thinking spiritually? Is that thinking spiritually? When we sit and discuss these things and hours and hours of discussion, is that thinking spiritually. It is important. But that is not, just because a man or a woman love to do that, it does not mean that they are thinking spiritually. Sometimes we have people who just, they have mastered to put words together. So when they pray, everybody knows that so-and-so is praying. Does it mean that they're thinking spiritually? Does it mean that they're thinking spiritually? A spiritual man truly would be a man who knows how to pray and speaks with his God. But it doesn't end there. So what is thinking spiritually? If it's not a state of entertaining high thoughts of God's word. When we entertain high thoughts of God's word, and that leads us to the place where we entertain high thoughts of God. That is the beginning of thinking spiritually. We look into his word and we consider the things that God has revealed to us. He says, you have exalted your word above your name. Do we have a high view of God's word? You see, our lack of faith, and you would agree with me that our lack of faith is a result of low views of God. And that weakens our faith. Our little sins that we struggle with most of the times would be a result of entertaining low views of God. So even though Psalm 119 is well known for its length, you see the climax, as you read this psalm, as you enjoy this psalm, the climax, the highest class of learning, is for us to think spiritually. To think like Christians. To think like God's people. But the church today, what they know about Psalm 119 is its length. Amen? That's what they know. So a story is told of a man who was about to be crucified for his testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so in those days, they would allow you to pick a psalm, pick a passage of scripture that they would read to you before they crucify you. And so he picked Psalm 119. And they asked him, should we read all of it? He said, yes, all of it. So as they were reading the psalm, halfway, his pardon came and he was saved. But we want to see Psalm 119 serve even a greater purpose in our life, that we start to exalt God in our minds and see that work out a godly life as we live on the earth. C.H. Spurgeon says, he who wrote this psalm seems to have saturated his mind with those books of scripture which he possessed. And he continues to say, our best improvement, which is our best use of this sacred composition, will come through getting our minds into intense sympathy with its subject. That we need to do the hard work to think as we study God's word. David demonstrates to us what thinking spiritually looks like. We have Isaiah chapter 8:20. Isaiah says, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Do we have such high views of God's word? John Owen says the Bible was not written to show us how people lived back then, but how we must live today. So we need to cherish and prize this book because it's important for us. If we are to think spiritually, we need high thoughts, high views of God's word. We need to learn how to use God's word. We need to be taught how to use God's word. And that will result into a state of mind where we are thinking spiritually. And so what David does is to demonstrate to us seven ways in which we can cultivate thinking spiritually, to think like Christians. How can we cultivate that? Seven ways he does that in the first few verses of Psalm 119. Why is it the longest psalm or chapter in the Bible on one idea, thinking spiritually? Because this subject was dear to the king's heart. He wanted to think spiritually. He wanted to think biblically. He wanted to think as a man who fears God. And this is where his passion came from. He was thinking spiritually. And so as we look at this important psalm this evening, I want you to consider verse 1. He says, blessed are they undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Our view of God's law. That's the first step to thinking spiritually. We need to start seeing God's law as divine revelation. That God has revealed himself to us. It is what God has given to us to govern our lives. We need to start seeing God's word in that light. We need to walk in God's law. You see, there is no any other law apart from God's law. Any other law is lawlessness. There is no any other law apart from what God has given us. The rest is lawlessness. And so a high view of God's law, what God has given us, what God is teaching us, we need to look at it and have a high view. That's the first step to thinking spiritually. In the same chapter, look at how David, a man who's thinking spiritually, look at the way his view of God's law. In verse 18, listen to what he says. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Open my eyes. There are greater things in there. There are wonderful things in the law of God. And he cries out to God, open my eyes, I want to see these things. Is that our view of God's word? In verse 34, David cries out to God, give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. As a man who's thinking spiritually, right? As a man who's thinking spiritually, indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. How many things are we observing with our own hearts? This must be our day and night. This must be our cry, day and night, to desiring God's law. Listen to what he says in verse 2. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. See, a spiritual man stores in his or her heart the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the testimony of God. He treasures that and stores that in his heart. Scripture points to this one testimony that God has loved sinners and he has sent his son Jesus Christ to die for them on the cross. And upon believing, these lawbreakers, they should be saved. All testimonies, All the situations we see in the Bible, the stories where God saved people, they point to this one testimony, the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so a spiritual man stores this testimony in his heart. It's the testimony of God. Thinking spiritually means that we are keeping this testimony. We are treasuring this testimony. We are drawn to God as we meditate upon this testimony. Part B of this verse says, who seek him with the whole heart. What draws these people to God? The testimony of God. Does the gospel draw us to himself, to God? Does it do that? As a spiritual man, this is a man who's thinking spiritually. It is through the testimony of our Lord that we draw near to God with our whole hearts. We come boldly. We come without fear, without condemnation. We come without shame. We come in hope. In verse 22, he tells us, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. It is the testimony of God, what Christ has done for us, that will take shame. Shame that comes because of sin. But what draws us to him is this testimony. And here is a man who is thinking spiritually, who is thinking biblically. Consider verse number 3. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. To think spiritually is to consider God's word, to consider his dealings with mankind and particularly his chosen people as he deals with us. We need to consider the way he does it. Consider those things. To think spiritually is to consider his providence. You see, our obedience is rooted in his providence. As God works in us, as God works in other people's lives, as we see him work, as we examine as we read the word and see the promises, how he dealt with the children of Israel, how he dealt with the New Testament church, we see those things. We see him work in providence. We are encouraged that truly this is a God who keeps his promises. He's a faithful God. We need to consider this subject seriously. We want to look into God's word and consider the many ways in which God deals with people. In verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. In verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. We need to consider this. In verse number 4, a fourth way in which we are to think spiritually, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. We need to consider God's prescription for us. He's not left us to ourselves. We need to go to God's word and consider his prescription. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. He's not just left us to ourselves. Number 5, the statutes of the Lord. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. To think spiritually is to walk in the fixed and determined commands of the Lord. And that will take humility. It will take us emptying ourselves and say, Lord, I've got no any other way but to walk in what you have fixed and determined, that this is your path. That is a man who is thinking spiritually. Consider verse 6. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into your commandments. And I've heard people all the time in the churches, no, Christianity is not about the do's and the don'ts. Now that's partly true. It's not just about that. But there are things we are supposed to be doing, and there are things that we shouldn't be doing as Christians. And so a man or woman who's thinking spiritually, they will consider, they will have a holy attitude toward God's commandments. Listen to what he says in this verse 6. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. So the idea is that God has given us commandments. And so God wants me to do certain things and not to do certain things. But listen to what he says. He's looking at himself as a steward of God's commandments. Did you know that God has entrusted you his commandments? That you should keep them. And so a spiritual man is one who has considered this, that God has entrusted to me, and I'm a steward of his commandments. In verse 19, I'm a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. In verse 35, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. I delight in the commandments of God. We are stewards of God's commandments. They are not, it's not just a burden that God has given us. We are stewards. So we're supposed to delight in the commandments of God. So a spiritual man goes beyond looking at the commandments as just rules to be obeyed. It's treasure entrusted to God's people. And he takes pleasure and delights in what God has given him. The last verse I want us to consider is verse 7. If we are to think spiritually, it means that we are doing everything in the light of eternity. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I lay in your righteous judgments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I lay in your righteous judgments. A man who's thinking spiritually, a woman who's thinking spiritually, is one who is doing everything in this world in the light of eternity to consider and to think that God one day will bring every single thing into judgment. And what is he going to use? He's going to use the same word he's given us. This is the standard. You have it right here. It's the standard. That's what God is going to use. And so you do everything in the light of eternity. In verse 52, listen to what David says. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and I've comforted myself. You look at other people being judged and what God has done, and you use that to comfort yourself. You consider the holiness of God. You consider the righteousness of God. David says, when I lay in your righteous judgments, and that he uses it to comfort himself. I think we need to consider going to this psalm and think through these things and think about the way David uses these same things that become a burden to us. The way he does it He takes delight in the commandments of God. He looks at the judgments of God, and he uses those judgments to comfort himself. Going back to the psalm and thinking and considering these things will help us to think spiritually. Is there a fixed and determined way the Lord wants me to live? Or I'm subject to every wind that blows? And we need to consider that if we are to think spiritually. It is only when we seek to apply Scripture to every area of life and such high views of God's Word that we'll start thinking spiritually. You see, this is God's will. That's what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is God's will for us. This is God's will that we should think spiritually. This is the hub of our faith, that we are thinking spiritually. We are not carnal in the way we think, but we are spiritual men and women. This is the place of communion with God. This is the place where we commune with God as we're thinking high thoughts about him. That's the place where we commune with God. It's a place of refuge. It's where we find comfort. It's where we find peace. You see, the psalmist encounters his Savior in the Word of God. That's where he encounters his Savior. That's where he encounters God. That's where he has fellowship with God, in his Word. We can find fellowship in our friends and communion and comfort, but only when they are speaking God's word to us. I would encourage that we go back to consider, how must I use God's word? It's good to look at all these other things, like good books that have been written, but go back and examine Psalm 119 and look at the way this king uses God's word. Very important. It will help you to start to think spiritually, to think like a Christian, to think biblically. And the way he does it, he applies Scripture to every area of life, every single area of life. He applies Scripture. And you can see this man is truly thinking spiritually. He's thinking like a Christian. And I would exhort that we take those things and share with the brothers and sisters. This is what I'm seeing. This is what it looks like to think spiritually. Then in the end, consider, treasure, keep in your heart the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for your word. We are thankful that, Lord, you have not left us to ourselves, but you've given us your truth. We thank you for that. We thank you, Father, that you have given us your Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation, O Lord. We thank you, Father, for giving us faith to believe. And we pray, Father, that as we seek to walk as he walked, as we seek, O God, to live as he lived here on earth, as we seek to follow him, God, I pray you would teach us to study your word and to think as people who fear you, as people who have learned you, as people who have believed, oh God. Help us to think spiritually. Help us to think like this king, even to go beyond and to think like our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, We present to you our cry this evening. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.